This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. How about you? And be glad in it. We are so delighted to gather here for the Sunday that begins the observance in the church of the week of the Passion. This Thursday evening we'll gather for our Monday Thursday service, where we shall read that story. And we shall share a walking communion as we'll be taking communion by intinction. And we've added to that a hand washing service to begin that process. I pray that it will be a meaningful time for us to gather. You may notice that Matt is not here. He is vacating this week, and we want to be remembering he and his family while they're gone. And I have several things I want to remind us of as we begin, before we begin our worship today. One, remember to sign up for the Wednesday evening lunch. We noticed a little earlier there weren't a whole lot of folks signed up yet. If you're planning to be here this Wednesday, and we hope you will, we need you to sign up so we'll know how to prepare the food. And also, this Saturday is our Easter egg hunt here at the church, and we always are looking forward to that time together, and so we want to ask you to, if you're going to bring those donations, I just got word that the Edistat Miller group will be here tomorrow night stuffing those eggs. So if you can get it here by then, that will be a tremendous appreciation, and we look forward to that time with the children when we have a great time of fellowship, but we also share some of the significance of the moment with them as well. And then next Sunday morning, our choir will be sharing Then Came the Morning as our cantata and a message of Easter, as we again will tell the story in music of what Christ has done for us. Know that you'll want to make that an important part of your Easter celebration. You'll see the other announcements that are in the bulletin, and we are delighted to announce the arrival of Miss Chloe Reese Covert, and she's not going to make the baby dedication today, but we'll have another one before long, and she will make that one, and we're excited that she is doing well. We want to keep her as a praise this morning. Also, finally, need to ask the members of the diaconate, if you would, to meet just following the service with Tom Luck. And Tom, I think you can just do it right down here. It's just going to be working out the logistics for this Thursday and the serving of that. Are there any other announcements we need to make this morning? If not, let's begin with a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are excited on this Palm Sunday to gather in this place to worship you. We know that Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly on that Sunday. And we pray, O God, that even now you might enter our hearts triumphantly today. And you might speak to us and continue the thoughts of being the disciples that would carry the gospel, that we might be wisely accountable for all you've blessed us with. Lead us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you now continue to focus and meditate as we prepare our hearts for worship? One thing I didn't mean to mention, we've changed something, and we're going to try to get it where we understand it a little bit better. To our children that will be coming from the congregation for the children's sermon that Miss Martha Reagan will be sharing, we need you to stay in your seats until you see Miss Martha move and come up here to the front. We want to stay out of our ushers' way as they make all the collections. She knows the right time to come, so if you're going to be coming, just wait till you see her come down and be right here, then that'll be your time to come. Thank you, Brother Leonard. Daniel and Caleb, if it is your intent to dedicate yourselves and Miss Allie Liza McFarland to the Lord this day, would you join me here at the altar? She is decked out. Joey and Shana. If it is your intent to dedicate yourselves and Mr. Jones Richard Thomas IV, also known as Buck, would you please bring him to the altar? On 10/24/13, October the 24th, your world changed forever as Miss Allie made her appearance. And on August the 31st of last year, Buck entered your world and your world changed. And you know what, church? Our world changed. God added to us tremendous responsibilities. The scripture says, "Yet it was you, God, who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God." Our faith informs us that our children belong to God, and they are entrusted to us, but for a season. Parenting at its best is a calling from God through those years to love and protect, challenge, and to gradually release these precious children. Parenting requires every resource we have and then some, from walking the halls at 2 a.m. with a crying infant to waiting up past midnight for a tardy teenager. Parenting is not for the weak-hearted. The good news is that parents don't have to fill these shoes alone. This room, this sanctuary, is full of many hearts and hands whom our God has drawn together into a family of faith. Our church, no parent stands alone. No child is without many spiritual aunts and uncles, sisters and brothers. We are here to help you to bear this awesome and exciting responsibility of raising Allie and Buck. Will they grow to have faith in Christ? Will they hear the stories of Jesus? Will His words be lived out before them so that they will know the truth and the truth will set them free? Will they be encouraged to walk by faith little by little, be forgiven when they fall, and be challenged to one day undertake the greatest journey of all, to follow Christ in the waters of baptism and beyond? The answer to those questions are the mission of the church and the responsibility of these families. Are we ready? Daniel and Kayla, you have brought your precious daughter, and Joey and Shana, you have brought your precious son before this congregation to consecrate them to the Lord and to dedicate yourselves to the task of parenting. The time has come for you now at the altar before this congregation to make some promises. Daniel and Kayla and Joey and Shana, will you pledge to support and love your child by providing the opportunity for them to grow up in the family of faith with the hope that someday they will confess Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior? If so, would you please say, "We will." Will you, to the best of your ability and with God's help, provide a loving family environment in which Allie and Buck can grow in love, loyalty, and obedience to God? If so, would you please say, "We will." And finally, will you encourage them to grow in your faith so that they might later be received into the fellowship of the church by baptism, fully partaking in the work and worship of the church? If you will, would you indicate that by saying, "We will."
We will.
Thank you. And now, if you're here and you are part of the biological family, because we're all family, but the biological family of Miss Allie, would you please stand and remain standing? And if you're here and you're part of Buck's family, would you please stand? Blessed is the child who has faithful, loving grandparents, uncles, aunts, and cousins. Not only do you who stand with this young family today thoroughly enjoy and help nurture these precious children in your own unique way, but you also are support for their parents through the wonder-filled and sometimes frustrating process of parenting. Will you likewise pledge to support, encourage, and love these precious gifts from God, Allie and Buck, and their parents through these awesome years to the best of your ability? To the family, I now ask, if you will, would you please say, "We will."
We will.
And would you remain standing? And now to the congregation at Flat Springs Baptist Church, would you please stand with this family? And any of our guests here, if you're not standing and you're able, please do so for this precious moment. To the congregation of Flat Springs, Jesus said, "Allow the children to come unto me." We, the church, are the avenue through which these children can develop and grow to become Christ. From Sunday school and vacation Bible school, from angel choir to mission programs, from watching us make worship, Bible study, prayer, mission and ministry, and fellowship a priority, Allie and Buck will make it a priority in their life too. Today, if we would promise as a church to be the examples for these families and to promise to support them with our prayers and any other way we can, Flat Springs Baptist, would you indicate that by saying, "We will"?
We will.
And now you have heard your church and your family stand with you. And it is indeed a blessing to stand with these two precious little ones. We stand at the altar to dedicate ourselves to give them every opportunity of house and home and church that God may direct us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing that is Allie and Buck. Thank you for their innocence. Thank you for their home. Thank you for the gift that they are. Help us to rise to the challenge, to bring them up in the way that would be pleasing unto you as we give them back to you in this service of dedication. In Christ's name, amen. Thank the congregation. You may be seated. And now I'd ask the deacons to come and share a gift to you. Right, everybody needs to be as happy as Bucky is to be in church right now. Thank you, ABC. Great job. Great job.
Page 407. Let's start on the second verse, sing the second and the third verses of Because He Lives. Let's all stand.
Pray. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to come into your house of worship. Please open our minds and hearts so that we might learn to better serve you. Please accept this offering that it might be pleasing to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Wow, you all look nice today. My goodness. I have a question for you to start off. Do any of you have a favorite superhero? Okay. What? Iron Man. Okay. Batman. Captain America. Okay. How about Superman? Is that too old? Okay. All right. And Superwoman. Okay. One of the things that superheroes have in common is they usually wear a cape. Have any of you ever put a cape around you and ran outside and did your arms out like this and pretended like you were Superman? I see some smiles. I bet you have. Okay. You might have tied that cape around you, but in Jesus' day, many people wore something called a cloak. And it was a loose garment, sort of like a coat. But what they did was they put it around their shoulders like this, and it was called a cloak. Well, in Bible times, where they lived, it was very hot. The sun was blazing down, and the wind was blowing the sand. And that cloak protected them from that heat and that sand. So it was provided for that protection. Well, in today's Bible lesson, you're going to see an unusual way that that cloak was used. So listen carefully. I'm going to read Matthew 21, 1 through 11. And I want you to listen for the word cloak, and I also want you to listen for the word palm, because this is Palm Sunday, isn't it? So listen for those words. Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached, and this is talking about the disciples and Jesus, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, and with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and will send they will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what the prophets had spoken before. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went, and they did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. As a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, palm trees, and spread them on the road. The crowds then that went ahead of them followed and shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." All right, so when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, a very, very large crowd came to welcome him. And some of them spread their cloak on the road for Jesus to ride on. And others cut these branches from the trees called the palm and spread those on the road. Now, why would they do this? Put palms and cloaks on the road? Well, they were treating Jesus like a king, like a king. The Bible tells us that the crowd shouted as they went along, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." These people greeted Jesus like he was a king. A king, boys and girls. Do you know that today Jesus wants to be your king? That means that Jesus wants and needs you. He wants to be the boss of your life. That's what that means. He will show you what to do with your life if you let him. Jesus deserves to be your boss of your life. And some of you have already said that you want Jesus to be the boss of your life, and you want to follow him forever and ever and make him your Lord or your boss. Easter is next Sunday. So let's see and think about what Jesus wants us to do this week. And think about ways that we can tell others that Jesus is our Lord or boss. Okay? Let's pray about that. Thank you, Lord, for these children who have come to listen to your word from your Bible. Help us to make you our boss. And also help us to show others that you are our boss and to explain our boss to them. In thy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, boys and girls. You may go back. Thank you for being so attentive.
Let's turn to our hymnal to page 181. First, second, and last verses. Let's all stand.
May be seated. You'd open your bulletin, you'll find our prayer concerns. We certainly want to be remembering all of those that are listed here. I would also like to add the name of Ronnie Campbell to our prayer list. Ronnie actually spent one night in the hospital this week with kidney stones, and is going to have some more procedures done about that stone in a couple of weeks, and he is feeling some discomfort from that, and we want to keep him lifted up in our prayers. Also, you will note those that we have lost: the C.M. Wicker, a tremendous community person, and also Miss Mary Dowdy. We want to remember that family in our prayers in a very special way. And we've also mentioned the thanksgiving we have for Miss Chloe's arrival. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, there is no friend like you, no, not one, who can heal all our soul's diseases We are grateful for your love. And as we move now into worship, in song through special music from our choir, and then in the message, we pray, O God, that you might continue the conversation that you are sharing, that we might be saying, Lord, what would you have us do? And then we would listen with spiritual ears to hear what you might say. We lift these needs that we have mentioned before you, asking, O God, that you might bless them in a most special way. And Lord, now, as we continue to lift your name above every name, we pray, O God, that you might inhabit the praise of your people. In Christ's name we ask.
Oh,
you'll want to be here next Sunday to hear all of that. Thank you, choir. I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. Martha read with the children that in Matthew 21, Jesus enters Jerusalem. He's in a series of teachings. He comes from Bethany to Jerusalem, and he's teaching in the temple. And then before evening, he is leaving the city and headed to the little town of Bethany. If you notice, in the next chapter, chapter 26, verse 1, it says, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." These teachings in Matthew 25 on being ready, the final judgment, and investing what God has blessed us with, frame our discipleship development of being wise and accountable. There's a story told. Some have said that maybe Jesus' most well-known parable is that of the prodigal. One of his most powerful is the Good Samaritan. But some have argued that the most practical parable is the one that we shall read today. Matthew chapter 25. We'll begin to read in verse 14, and we shall read through verse 30. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. Jesus says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." You and I, God has entrusted. "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away." Jesus was going away. "He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also the one with 2 talents, he made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money." Verse 19. "Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came." It's been a long time, but the master's coming. "And he settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I've made 5 more talents. His master said to him," verse 21, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and I've made 2 more talents. His master said to him," verse 23, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to, I'd say, at least have invested my money with the bankers. At the coming, I should receive mine with the interest.'" Verse 28. "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment that we might live a lifetime listening for your voice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, mark in your hymn book our closing hymn, page 447, Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey, 447. Do we know what time it is? And does it matter? I love the story about the man who'd been married a few years, and he was reading the paper, and his wife came and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Honey, I bet you don't know what today is. Ladies, there's not a whole lot you can say that sparks fear in the heart of a man. Much more than those words." "Of course I know what day it is," he thought, and just went back to reading his paper. Well, he didn't have a clue. But he was afraid, and so he thought, "Special occasion. What is today? Maybe it's her birthday. That must be it." So he called the florist from work and had a bouquet of roses delivered. But then he got to thinking, well, what if it's not her birthday? What if it's an anniversary? He made a trip by the jewelry store just to be sure. And then he thought, that might not be enough. It may be a significant anniversary. So he stopped by and bought a box of chocolates. He pulls in, hands his wife all those gifts, gives her the chocolate. She throws her arms around him and says, "Oh, honey, thank you. You've made this the best Groundhog Day I've ever had." Do we know what time it is, and does it matter? Will any holiday do? Will any occasion be okay? These parents have brought these children and stood at a place where just last Sunday two gave their heart to Christ. A holy place. Does that matter? Many of us are sitting in the congregation, and we brought our children to this place or a place like this. Does that matter? Does what we do really matter? I think it does. Our time matters. It's easy to put off important things. I think that probably the greatest song that ever captured that, and one that has challenged me, and oftentimes I feel as though I haven't lived up to the challenge that the song gives. Well, you might remember it, and it was when I was young, so some of you may be hearing it for the first time. But listen to the words. "My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, 'I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know, I'm going to be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, 'Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?' I said, 'Not today. I've got a lot to do.' He said, 'That's okay.' And he walked a while. He walked away, but his smile never dimmed, saying, 'I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him.' Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man I just had to say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?" He shook his head and he said with a smile, "What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?" I've long since retired, and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, "I'd like to see you if you don't mind." He said, "I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you." And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Important things can be neglected, can't they? What matters at home? We've been saying all through this study that what we do here at church is just a handful of hours. But what we do at home, that's everything. The talents that God has given us. And the most important talent is our time. It's easy to neglect important things. Oh, if that smoke alarm starts to chirp, don't you hate that noise? Oh, I've got a nerve somewhere deep in my neck that it just hits. And I don't neglect that chirp. But ignore a relationship or a problem in a relationship. Sometimes the most important thing may not be changing that battery that moment, but picking up the phone or going to that home. Our time. The talents. I've read different things depending, I guess, on inflation. Some scholars said it was around 2,000 denarii. You may remember that from other Bible verses. That's a daily's wage, a wage of a day. And can you imagine 2,000? Some said it was as much as 6,000 denarii. We're talking of thousands and thousands. It's not unlike when Jesus used the story of the man who owed millions and another guy owed him 20. The value of the talents is so high. It is because of this story, many believe, that the English word came into talent, meaning what we're able to do, what we are gifted at. It came from this very place. Zig Ziglar says, "You're the only person on earth who can use your ability." That's true, isn't it? You're the only person on earth who can be all that God would have you to develop into. Our time matters. Our abilities matter. Are we giving to God every day all that He has blessed us with? Oh, this story, it's so aggravating, isn't it? We think, well, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad just to bury the talent. I mean, he gave him back all he had. He didn't take any of it. He didn't use what God had given him. He didn't use what God had blessed him with. Jesus equates that to sin in this story. Jesus equates this of not taking what we've been blessed with, our talent, and using it. God will examine each of us according to our ability. And that's what the story says. That one was given five because the master knew he could handle five. And another two because the master knew he could handle two. And another one, but really didn't matter what they gave because the idea wasn't how much they were given. The idea was how much would they use what they were given. I came across this little anonymous poem. "Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in the sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity? Each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, and a book of rules. And each must make, ere life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone." What are we making? How are we using what God has blessed us with? I was seen on Facebook. I'll tell you, if you want to hear that song we sang, No, Not One, go look up Dave's Highway and listen to those three kids sing it. I'd love to hear them sing. But I heard there's a priest. Somebody's, I think it was on Facebook. There was at a wedding. Did y'all see that? Those of you Facebookers and the priest that sang. And he just took that song and he just made it his own. And he used that moment, and even watching it on YouTube, you could almost catch how special it was. Why? Because there was a man that God had given the talent to sing, and he used that talent for God. Our choir will bless us next Sunday because they will take their talent to sing, and they will do it to the glory of God. That's what God wants. We must not mishandle God's gifts. Jonas Weiss says that the gifts of God are not given like money. They're more like plants, which need suitable soil for their growth. Now, I know it's a little warm in here. I see some of you fanning. Let me read that again. I think his quote is worth you hearing. The gifts of God are not given like money, but like plants. God's gifts are like plants, which need suitable soil for their growth. That's what we're about here. Cultivating the soil. Adding the right nutrients. Fixing the soil. But the growing of the plants, that doesn't take place here. That would be like going to the garden center and planting your garden there. No, you go and get there, and then you bring it home. You go and you get all the stuff, right? You get the fertilizer, and you get the compost, and you get the plants. But you also get the tools, but then you come back to your place. I'm trying to give you tools. Sunday school, we're trying to give you tools. Awana, we're trying to give you tools. Journey, we're trying to give you tools. You can go. Because our gift from God's not like money, but like a plant. How's our soil? You can test the soil. Take it down to the state office and they can tell you if it has too much or too little. I wonder if we were to do a spiritual test of our soil, will we find that there might not be enough prayer? Maybe not quite enough Bible study to really help us grow. Not enough sharing or caring. Finally, this morning, the talents and the time are an important investment because they directly affect the total. Let me ask us this question. Many of us here have been for job interviews, had some assignment at school. There come that moment when maybe the presentation at school was gone, or maybe we'd made a presentation at work, or maybe we'd applied for that job, and then we wait. We wait to hear the decision. What will the teacher say? What kind of grade will we get? Will the person that we've applied for the job say, congratulations, it's your job? This most practical story that Jesus gives us here, there's only two words that he gives. Well done, are you wicked and slothful servant. It is important that you note that the one who had 5,000 and the one who had 2,000 received the exact praise. You should have said, well, the one with 5,000... and our free market understanding made more. Maybe he should have had a higher recognition. No. He had the exact same recognition as the one with two. And I would suggest that had the one with the one talent, the one that got the bad announcement, had he invested and made one talent or even a half a talent, if he had tried, if he had done anything except go out and dig a hole and bury it and do absolutely nothing with it, he would have heard, well done, good and faithful servant. the most important moment in our history, your history, and my history, will be that day we stand before God. You can miss a lot of appointments. There are folks who will grow up in the United States and never attend church. They can miss every church service. You can miss April the 15th, which is this Tuesday. You can miss all kind of appointments, doctor appointments. But I want to tell you, there's one appointment that not a one of us will miss. The Bible says that one day each of us will stand before God and give an account. And every one of us will keep that appointment. And every one of us will hear one or two words, "Well done, or wicked servant." Well done, or wicked servant. What do you want to hear in that day? That's a no-brainer, isn't it? Every one of us wants to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What will we do with our time and our talent that God has invested in us? Therein lies the answer to what God will say on that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of decision and reflection, as we prepare to enter into the last week of our Lord and Savior's life, who heard at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," and who caused the sun to fail to shine when he breathed his last breath on this earth, and darkness fell on this earth. But Lord, as our choir reminded us, then comes the morning. Help us to be ready on that day to say, "Lord, I took what you entrusted to me, the way you created me, my personality, my abilities, and I didn't measure myself by what others did, only by what you had blessed me with. And I did my best." And then, oh God, we will hear those words that we all desire to hear. "Well done, good and faithful servant." For what we do matters. Help us to be wisely accountable for all we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 447. Trust and obey. This morning, if God is challenging you in some very specific area of your life to use your time or use your talent differently or wisely, then maybe you just, where you are, need to make that commitment to God and then to yourself. Maybe you need to come and make some public decision. Maybe moving your church membership. Maybe coming and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior for the first time. Maybe recommitting publicly your life to follow Christ. Whatever the Spirit is leading us to do, may we trust and obey as we stand together.
We have died.
things quickly to remember. One, if you haven't signed up for the meal Wednesday and you're planning to attend, please do that before you leave. And if you're bringing candy, drop it by today. There'll be a crowd here this afternoon. And then finally, the members of the diaconate, please meet with Tom Luck for just a moment. And just for one point of clarification, lest anybody should be worried, you know, I mentioned that priest that sang in that wedding. Well, one of my talents isn't singing, so don't worry about me ever doing that, okay? Just everybody's heart could be content about that. But you might want to find that. It was pretty neat. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence. Because what we do matters, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from this place. Lead us through this week. Bring us back this Wednesday and this Thursday. And then bring us with the expectancy of Easter Sunday, when we will greet one another with the reality of the resurrection. Guide us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.